Well, good morning.
My name's Shannon, and Shannon Hopkins, and I'm with 61 Isaiah, and the lead missionary in Honduras. I know you guys have heard of Honduras, right? I'm pretty sure. Okay, I thought you might have, maybe a little bit, right? Okay, all right. Well, it's my first time to come to Southside, and it is such a joy to be here with you guys. I grew up just down the road, not too far from here in Strawn, Texas, and grew up around this area my whole life until God called us to go overseas and go serve in Honduras. And so we're just happy to be here with you today. I'm happy to be in Texas, even during this time, and just more happy to be here today, worshiping with you today. So one of the things that we believe in more than anything else, our ministry that God's led us to do is to walk with people. And that's really our motto that we use. We say all the time, come walk with us. Let's walk together. I just thought today, I'm so thankful that David gave us opportunity, Pastor David gave us opportunity to share today. And I thought, you know what? To get a true representation of who we are and what we want to share today, we wanted to walk together. And so Josh and I are actually going to walk together today and actually co-teach this message this morning. Is that okay with you guys? Do something a little bit different today. Come on up here, Josh. Come up with us and... I don't know how that one works. I think you should be good. So Josh is going to be here just to share a little bit, just together, because we walk together all the time. You live across the street from me, so that's true. And especially during Corona, you kind of really just lived with us. And I mean, in some ways, yeah. You slept at your house, but you were at our house quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so we walk together, we do ministry together, and so, like I said, I thought it would only be fitting to come together and just kind of share together today. Now, I believe two things should happen when we preach God's Word. I think this is really important. I think that God's Word should always come with a testimony, and that's just what God's doing. You know, a lot of times we think of testimonies as that story of what we've done before we knew Christ and how we came to Christ and what our life has been like since Christ. But, you know, so much of our testimony is what we're seeing God do right now. In fact, I see a lot of testimonies spent about 80% of the time in the past and a little bit about how I got saved and even less about what God's doing. I think we need to flop that around a little bit, because the past is the past and it's over, and we need to spend more time talking about what he's doing now. So I think every message should have a testimony in it, because that's really God in action. God's working. I don't really want to come up and talk a bunch of theory. We want to show you this is what's really going on. I think also that every message should have a gospel in it. You know, the gospel should be key to what we're doing. So we're just going to share a little bit today. I've asked Josh to come up today and share a little bit of a testimony, what we've been doing during this time, this pandemic, during this season in life, and then I'll share a little bit after that. And so, Josh, tell us a little bit as a testimony. What have you seen God doing, and what is God doing through 61 in Honduras during this time? And really speak a lot to, I just told everybody our theme is like our motto, our vision is to walk with people. So how are we walking with people? How can we walk people when we're supposed to social distance and be stuck in our house? How does that look?
All right. Can y'all hear me all right? Okay, fantastic. Some of y'all were actually with us when all of this started. So I think it was March 15th. Was the Sunday that y'all flew out. Midnight that night, they closed the borders of Honduras. So y'all made it out just in time, and that's when all of this stuff began. At that point, we had two confirmed cases in Honduras. Two people had come from Spain and brought it in, but the news was just saying foreigners brought in the virus. So, man, it was fun having a group. And then us being foreigners, we got some stares for a little while, because that's all the news said, was foreigners brought in the virus. So because of that, I mean, also, we wanted to obey the law, but we had to be extra careful that we very clearly obeyed everything the government said, so that people were not thinking, oh, it's the gringos that have the virus, you know?
Well, I mean, most people know us anyways in town. Because we like to walk with people, we try to have a good reputation in town. It's a town of 25,000 people, Gracias is, but it's really a small town in a lot of ways. And so not only did, I mean, we just want to be a good example, right? Yeah. And what was it like 2 weeks after it started, Jackie and them went outside the house? Yeah, and got there, one of our teachers that we work at a bilingual school, and one of our teachers went out and was helping actually feed a homeless guy. There's a right near one of the churches, and I got their picture, and so all social media blew up saying, great example, you know, foreigners, way to go. So that really made us become more cautious in being out in public because people were genuinely scared.
And yeah, and like he said about people being scared, I think that especially when all this stuff first hit, there's a part where I think a wave of everyone in the whole world was just so afraid for a good chunk of time that no one left their house, everyone stayed at home, no one knew what to do. And so as we walk with people, we're trying to figure out, okay, we're also in the middle of that. How do we help people in their fear? What do we do? So we spent quite a bit of time just kind of waiting things out to see what would happen and trying to think through, pray through, how can we best walk with people when you can't physically be next to them walking with them? How can you best walk with people? Now, that's something we say that's like just sharing life with someone. When we talk about walking with people, I think of like there's a guy named Manuel that we would go visit every week. So we know him. We've built a relationship with him. We're walking with Manuel. Now I can't go visit Manuel. How am I going to walk with Manuel? So as we thought this through, one of the things that we've maintained is I run a youth group on Fridays. So still on Fridays at 6 p.m. for us, we have a Zoom meeting. That's our youth group. And we still do that. I do that from Texas. I was at Rusty's house and did it 2 days ago. I'm still walking with the youth group. They're still asking questions. They're asking really good questions because with fear comes questions. So some of walking with people has looked like distance, but just reaching out. And that's what that's the opposite of what we're saying. That's what walking with someone is a lot of time, is reaching out. But now it looks more like a phone call you make, or it looks more like a video chat. But letting someone know that you intentionally want to share life with them, that's what walking with someone is.
I think you've been on the phone probably more during this time than ever, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think Josh did spend a lot of time at our house. He lives just across the street from us. He spent a lot of time at our house. But I can say the times where he, let me rephrase that, the house he's living in is also our office. So he lives on one side of the office and house, and the office was on the other side. So there were many times when I needed to get out of my house just to change scenery for a second. And I would walk across the street, and if Josh was at his house, I would go in to either have a meeting or do some work or look for something. And I don't think I ever walked in to Josh. I mean, very rarely did I walk in and Josh wasn't on the phone. And so, you know, it's just like walking with people during this time. You have to, it's not what we're used to. It's not what we're normal to, what we're comfortable with. We just had to change and be creative in what we were doing so we could continue walking with people. Mm-hmm. And so he was always talking on the phone. A lot of times you're talking to Renee up in Las Brisas. I think you'd probably talk to him more than anybody, right?
And that's, some of our pastors, it's just really hard to get a hold of them. Like Pastor Eugenio, the pastor of Las Brisas, he's really hard of hearing. So man, it's just hard to make a phone call with him.
Yeah, and I'll even say this, like culturally, it's so weird. So much is based on that chip. Some of you guys probably have never seen the chip in your cell phone. We are like masterminds at chips and knowing exactly what chip goes where and how to use it, because the chips are so important. And so like, our pastors lose their chips all the time, right? They're gone, and they change phone numbers. And so as we're trying to find them, sometimes we just can't find them because they've changed their phone number and because they've got a different chip. And so that's Eugenio, I think he changes his chip quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a time we called him, and we're like, hey, we want to go visit you. This is before the virus, by the way. We want to go visit you. And he's like, yes, yes, I will pray for you. And I'm like, no. We want to go visit you in Las Brisas. Call me later, and I will pray for you some more. And like he just couldn't hear us. But I have been like messaging Renee. I try to talk to Manuel, the guy I said we go visit. I definitely talk to the youth. One of my plans this week is to try to give each one of them a one-on-one call. Because, man, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes the youth get tired of Zoom meetings. And you may, especially if you're in school right now, you might be tired of Zoom meetings too. So I'm just trying to make sure they know that I want to walk with them, that we're still going to be intentional. As the virus has developed, or as the time has developed, people started to lose jobs in Honduras. The government started to hand out food. So one of the things that 61 Isaiah did is we donated food to the mayor's office in Gracias, because if we work together, then we can help more people. We didn't want it to look like we are our own entity doing our own thing, and we're going to hand out food, everyone come to us. That's not what we wanted. We wanted to partner with the government and what they're doing, because then we can help more people, and then also they're going to go to the government who's going to hand out more food, and then they know where to go. We're helping them understand this is where you can go to get food. So we donated some food to the mayor's office.
Help the hospital.
Yeah, we gave.
That's one thing we really want to make sure is, like, if COVID comes to Gracias, like, we want to make sure the hospital's equipped in case we needed to go there. And so, yeah. So we helped the hospital out. You and I took beds, right? We took beds to the hospital. We had a lot of pregnant women coming in that were time to give birth. Like, Corona didn't stop that. And so what we did is public transportation stopped, and people were not allowed to, they didn't have any transportation back home. So we had a flux of ladies that had just given birth sleeping on the floor because there weren't any hospital beds. So we said, forget that. Let's go get some beds. And so we got beds for them so that they would be able to have a place to stay. And we were delivering the beds and found out, like, why don't we do something else, right? Like, why just let them sleep on the floor? Let's do something else. So we were able to work with a local pastor to get a group of people that basically we had a group of people that had permission from the mayor's office to travel during this time to take the women home. And I'm like, I just remembered my wife having children, and the thought of, like, not being able to see my newborn and not being able to be near them. And I'm like, a bed's just a small portion of what we can do. Let's get them home. And so we were able to do that as well.
Yeah, and with that, I forgot to mention, the way that they do the quarantine stuff down there is different than what y'all are doing here. Down there, you could only leave every 2 weeks. Otherwise, you needed to stay at your house. They would go by your ID number. So my ID number was a 4. So that means Thursday of the first week, I can go get all my groceries, run errands with a mask on, and then I got to go back to my house. And the next week, I can't leave at all. And then when it comes back to the other Thursday, I can leave. So when he says we had to get permission from the mayor, you had to have a form that you carried around so that whenever, and there were military stops at almost every entrance into our city. You couldn't leave, you couldn't get in or out, you couldn't travel around the city even unless you had this paper, or it was your day. You had to show your ID. So that's something that we had to work on. Even like getting stuff out to the radio was a hassle sometimes because we couldn't get that paper. So we had to, like, Josh, when's your day? You need to go to the radio and take the feed so the animals don't die. Like, it's just the things you have to work out. But with that, you do have to be innovative in this time. And when we did the best that we could to be creative, same thing with you guys. It's going to look different. And we just have to get past that part in our head. We're like, whoa, this is different. That's okay. Different is just what it is. But because of the gospel and the hope we have, we're going to keep going even if it's different.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things that Josh and I both are very similar in that we don't like to be at home at all. And we really like people. And so to go into quarantine, to go into be self-isolation, to be have a shelter in place was very difficult because we didn't get to talk to people. We didn't get to do that, which meant that we really got to talk to each other a lot. And I just have to share this fun fact. One of the things we did to get through quarantine and through the shelter in place, which we were 100 days in shelter in place. Like I said, able to leave every other week. Now, technically, we kind of had 2 IDs and we could leave a couple times, you know, if we needed to. But, you know, basically the way we got through that as a family is we had the Hopkins Olympics. And my family had an Olympic challenge every day. And Josh participated in that. And there's some video floating around that'll probably come out of him doing a handstand, which is very talented and good.
It was horrible.
And so, you know, but we were creative even in the way that we dealt with it personally. And we really recognized that was a need. And so I know many nights Josh and I would tell Josh during the day, it's like, all right, man, after dinner tonight, the kid, we've done the Olympics for the day. We're going to have a session tonight, and we're going to work out some stuff. And Josh and I would talk for hours. Well, I would talk for hours a lot. Josh would listen very well. But we would talk for hours and visit together. And in that time, I think that the Lord really opened up our eyes and renewed some of what He's called us to do. And that is to walk with people. And you know, as I'm thinking about it, it's really funny because I think right now as we look at COVID and we look at the situation, and let me just say this. I'm speaking of COVID because there's a part of me that thinks like everyone's tired of hearing of it. And I do. I think everyone is tired of hearing of it, but yet that's still what you're talking about. So I feel like that's what we need to share a little of today. And so in that midst of that, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of this pandemic around the world, you know, we can, if we really were to stop and think about it, it's a pretty unprecedented time. It's a time that the world's never seen before. It's very interesting. I travel a lot in the last month and have been in different places. So, you know, this wouldn't be happening in Dallas this morning. In some of the other areas we've been, it might have been happening. But it just, the word unprecedented keeps coming to my mind. It's just we're in this different time. And I love what you had to say is that we have to be creative in this. You know, we have to, just because we're in an unprecedented time, that doesn't stop what we've been called to do. And I look back and I look through scripture and I look and, you know, really, I know we've been in this for 6 months or so, but, or a little less than 6 months, but, you know, as I look back at the history of Israel and for over 600 years, they were in an unprecedented time. And I don't know how much you know of the history. I'm sure you know a lot of history, but just a quick review, you know. I mean, the Babylonians took the southern kingdom in 587, and then after that, the Persians came, and after that, the Greeks came, and after that, the Romans came. And so after almost 600 years, give or take, Jesus enters the world in an unprecedented time. I mean, 600 years of, it's not supposed to be this way. That's what Israel was going through when Jesus entered the scene. And talk about unprecedented. 400 years God had been silent. And could you guys imagine going through this and this moment in this short period of time that we have been through without God, without hope, without the church, without scripture? I don't know how I would do that. I don't know how we would make it through. I've prayed more during this time. I've been in the Word more during this time. I've read more. I've leaned on God more during this time. And what I realize is that this, when Jesus enters the world, it's in an unprecedented time. And of course, even before that, there were some unprecedented moments in the history of Israel as we look at the Word of God. But what I know and I see that is consistent all from the beginning of Genesis all the way until the time of Jesus and beyond, up until now, there's one thing that's been consistent that hasn't changed regardless of unprecedented times and regardless of circumstances. And that is our call, that is our responsibility to continue sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And you know, as we look in some ways as COVID has interrupted our lives and has shut us down in our normal routines, I hope and pray it hasn't hindered us from communicating the gospel, from living the gospel. And so, I want you to imagine for a second, 400 years of silence, 600 years of ish of unprecedented times. Jesus enters the scene. He's baptized. He begins his ministry. He's tempted in the desert. He returns to Nazareth. And as he returns to Nazareth, he goes to the synagogue or the church of the time, so to speak, the little teaching center of the time. As he walks in, he is handed a scroll. He's selected to read. And as he is, he reads this. I'm going to have Josh read this for us. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He reads this for us. And this is going to be a cool connector for you. Hopefully this is an aha moment. And this is what he says.
All right. So Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Now read a little bit more.
"Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down."
And he said, what?
Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Bam! How cool would that have been right there to see scripture of the Old Testament, a promise from Isaiah 61. To see a promise from Isaiah 61. Jesus reads and says, yeah, that's me. Drops the mic and walks out. Okay? That's me. I'm going to fulfill that scripture. And you know what's amazing is Jesus, this is his roadmap. This is his strategy. This is his three-point plan for what he's going to do in unprecedented times. He is going to preach good news to the poor. He is going to open the eyes or restore the sight of the blind. And he is going to set the oppressed free. That's his roadmap. That's his strategy in this time of unprecedented, in this unprecedented time of the world at that time. You want to talk about unprecedented? You want to talk about injustice? I don't want to get too far into that. Injustice, cruelty, wrong, evil, perversion, just lost, vile humanity. That was in Romans times. Time of Rome, entertainment was death in a ring. There were all types of sexual perversion done to the goddesses. There was all type of chemical enhancing objects. It was an unprecedented time in the Roman Empire. And Jesus enters in as the hope of the world to do these three things, as well as die on the cross and raise from the dead. I love the response of the disciples. Actually, if you go to the end of this, at the end of Jesus' ministry, after he did everything he said he was going to do, and he rose from the dead, as you go to the end of the ministry, at the end of it, in Acts chapter 1, they turn to Jesus, and Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit, because when it comes, you're going to receive power. And they turn to Jesus in Acts 1, and they said, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of Israel? And I see Jesus like shaking his head, and he's like, y'all don't get it. I've come to impact the world. You're going to impact the world. This isn't anymore just about one location in one place. This is about the world. And that's one of the things I appreciate about your church, that I'm learning about your church, is your ability to look outside of just right here. Although we need to look right here, we need to look here and beyond. I tell people all the time, when it comes to missions, we always think of doing mission work as over there. But let me tell you what, God did not create borders, we did. God did not create the nations, we did. And we are called to go all over His creation to share the good news and the gospel. Tell you what hasn't changed during this unprecedented time, and that's the gospel. And that's our call to share it. So the first thing that Jesus does is He says, listen, I've been anointed to preach good news to the poor. Now, we would like to think right off that that means poor as in physical poverty. We get a lot of questions about physical poverty, right? I mean, especially even in Honduras. We are like the second poorest country in Latin America. Limpira is the poorest country in all, or the poorest state in Honduras. There's a lot about physical poverty. But in Matthew 5, Jesus speaks as the Beatitudes, and you probably know this off the top of your head, but he says, blessed are those who are poor in, for they shall inherit. See, Jesus isn't talking about being anointed to go talk to the poor people. He's called to anointed to go preach to those who are poor in spirit. He has come to set the captives free. When he comes to set the captives free, he's talking about being a slave to sin. Now, if we were to go on to John chapter 8, we see in John chapter 8, Jesus has a conversation with a group of Jewish people, and he tells them, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if you'll know the truth shall set you free. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to those that are enslaved to sin. That's what he came to do. He came to set, to restore the sight of the blind. Those who are blind, now is he talking about physical blindness? No. What's he talking about? spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, the God of this world has blinded those to the light of the gospel. And so he comes to share this good news so that we can have these aha moments. Remember that aha moment you had when you were going along in life and the Lord just opened up your eyes and you finally went, I get it. I can see. Jesus came to do that. He came to do it through preaching. He came to do it through miracles. He came to do it through the miraculous signs that he performed. He came to open up their eyes. He came to do it through his love and kindness. Through the love and kindness he shared. You know, during this time, a lot of places, a lot of churches have become frozen. I don't know what to do. A lot of us have become frozen because a lot of us, our identity's been challenged in this time. But just because there's an unprecedented time doesn't mean that we have to stop sharing the good news of the gospel, whether that's in Honduras or Brownwood or Coleman or Stephenville or wherever we're living at. We need to continue to share that good news, both to those who are spiritually poor, those who are ready to receive it, those who are captivated by sin and ready to be set free. We need to share it with those who are blind spiritually, who just don't get it, who don't understand it. We need to keep sharing it and keep sharing it and keep sharing it. I was at an event last weekend, and here's a church camp that we're at, kind of a camp retreat that we're at. We're sitting there, and typically when you go to one of these camp retreats, you tend to think everyone's saved that's there. I can tell you that before I walked in, the Lord said, there's somebody that needs to hear the gospel. They need to be saved. I walked in, and I preached the gospel, and I kept saying, somebody needs to be saved. That evening when we had dinner, a youth leader stepped up and said, listen, there's a young man in our group. He is not saved. I'm praying for him this week. And I knew right off, boom, that's the one. The next day, or that day, I continued sharing, and I was sharing and sharing the gospel and what it meant. And that day, that young man accepted Christ because his eyes were open from the preaching of the word. We are called to share the gospel. We are called to do it. We're called to do acts of love and kindness. That's what Jesus did. You know, right after Jesus had that conversation in John 8, he goes on and he actually heals a man that's born blind in John 9, all right? And of course, what's the question? When we first read John 9, he says, hey, what's wrong with this guy? Did he sin or did his parents sin? What does this have to do with sin? And Jesus said, no, I've come to bless this man. I've come to open his eyes so you will know that I'm God. And Jesus had like this two-day debate in John 7 and 8. A two-day debate with all the Jewish leaders and all the Jewish religious leaders. He'd been having this two-day debate about the gospel. Their eyes were blind. They were slaves to sin. They didn't even want to admit they were slaves to sin. They were struggling. And yet Jesus heals this blind man. And this blind man who barely knew anything. He didn't know anything at all. They kept trying to get, who is this man that healed you? What is he supposed to do? Tell us, he is a sinner, is he not? And the blind man says, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I can only share what I know, and that's what I know. What I know is that no man since all creation in God's word that we have has ever healed the eyes of a man born blind. There's something about him. Jesus opened up his eyes physically, but he opened up his eyes spiritually. And the last thing he did is he came to set the oppressed free. And these are the oppressed that, this isn't just oppressed like lightly. These are ones that are suffering the injustices of the world, that are suffering from the consequences of sin. This is the woman at the well, who had a cycle of spiritual poverty in her life that Jesus was not afraid of Samaritan cooties. Jesus was not afraid to talk to a woman in public. He wasn't afraid of what that would look like. But Jesus wasn't afraid to call her out and call her in the sin she was living in. He wasn't afraid to talk to her. You know what's amazing about the story of the woman at the well is Jesus had sent the disciples, those who were under training, to go into the city. And they came back empty-handed as she was sent. And she ends up coming back with the entire town because she went and told her testimony. She went and told what God had done in her life. Wow. Jesus came to talk to those who were oppressed, like the rich young ruler. That when Jesus said, if you really want to follow after me, give everything up and come after me, who sadly walked away and said, can't do it. Jesus came to walk with people. That's what he did. He loved them right where they were at. And it wasn't something that instantly happened. It was something that took time. But he was intentional in sharing the word. He was intentional in doing these aspects of Isaiah 61. It's what God's called us to do in Honduras. Look, we could talk all day long. I'm going to be honest with you. I could talk all day long and tell stories. Could we not? I mean, a lot of stories. We love what we do. And you would walk away going, oh, that's neat. We could wow you today. We could. But I'd rather motivate you today to go out and share the gospel. I'd rather encourage you today and not just sit here and say, wow, this is what Shannon and Josh are doing. Look, I'd rather come and say, let's join together and share the gospel throughout the world, because that's what Jesus did in unprecedented times. And that's what we're called to do right now, is to continue sharing it everywhere we go. Sometimes it's as simple as actually putting on that mask when you don't want to. Sometimes it's as simple as smiling under the mask or over the mask. Sometimes it's gentleness, it's a kindness in a world that's so angry. I have these conversations a lot with people. I love to talk to people. I have these conversations. And in these conversations, we'll talk about everything that's wrong with the world. And there's lots that's wrong with the world. In the end, I end up asking this question a lot of time, like, what do you want? What do you think the world should be? And very few people can answer that question. You know what the world should be? The world should be set free from sin. The world should have the gospel dominate every conversation. The world should be restored in right relationship with God. And until then, the world is going to be broken and it's going to be hurt. And we can talk and debate all day long about statistics. We can talk all day long about what this person should do and what this agency should do and what this government official should do and what the news should do and what this should do and that should do, when we really should be talking about what you should be doing and what I should be doing. And that's going out and sharing the good news of Jesus with others. And that comes from not just walking up to strangers, but having relationships with those that you already know.
Can I add something, Shane?
Absolutely.
So a little bit more on that with the testimony of what we've been doing. One of the prayers that we've been praying is that God will use this time to reconcile families who are stuck at home, that have used every other excuse they can to leave, now they can't. So we're praying that God will reconcile those families. We're praying that those families will become God-centered and speak to each other about their faith, because, like he said, sometimes it's the people you already know. Man, sometimes it's the people in your own house. Maybe that's who God wants you to reach to today. I've seen some of my youth kids come with such big questions. How is God still good when this is going on? How do we pray for my family? How do we pray for a government that's not dependable? Like these questions that they're asking. And I don't have the answers to those things. Well, some of them I do, but I don't know what to do about the government, but I can tell you, we know the guy that does. We're going to pray. So this time where everything that we have once depended on seems to be fading, we know where we trust. And the way that we trust in God shows the rest of the world what we're supposed to be doing right now. The way that you guys still have hope in the midst of this uncertain time shows the people who are asking questions and they're lost in that, you're showing them that we have a purpose still. Our job may be gone. Our identity may be, shouldn't be in there. That should be in Jesus, right? We can show them that. And then they see, okay, there's something more than just the work I did. There's something more than just leaving my house. There's something more to life. What is it? And we are the people that show them what that is. And so we share the gospel, one, because we need it, two, because they need it. And that gospel does not stop for a virus, for a change in job, for a change in location. That gospel keeps going.
We may be, I think what we've seen more than anything else, we may be limited in where we can go, but we're not limited in what we can do. And I just encourage you in exhaustion and frustration and just like, I just want it to be over. I do. I want it to be over. I want things to be normal again. It's not going anywhere. Normal's never going to go back the way it was. But what is consistent, and that's Jesus in this time. I've had so many conversations with people. Oh my gosh, so many conversations of like, okay, dude, so tell me, this is it, isn't it? Like, this is the beginning of it all. The world's going to end, isn't it? Everybody wants to have these conversations. There's been a lot of people that's become experts in Revelation since this began. And I just want to ask this one question. If it did, does it change you at all anyways? Does it bring urgency to you? I mean, if it is, I don't know if it is, but it doesn't change the urgency we have in what we've been called to do. Don't get discouraged. I know it's easy to say. And one of the reasons that I'm not, and one of the reasons I can stand up and talk to you today and talk to you today is that we're walking with people. Look, I've had discouraging days. I've had frustrating days. And here comes Josh hopping along and everything's all great. It's like, what are you so happy for today? You know, it's time to be frustrated today. And Josh has been frustrated. And then there's other days where he's wanted to mope around. I'm like, stop it. Get up. We're not going to be mopey. We're going to do something today, right? I mean, it's just it comes back to walking together. It comes back to sharing things together. And so that's why I think it's so important that we be hopeful, we be creative, and we continue to walk with each other during this time. I'm going to ask the band to come back up and just share that message. If you're sitting there saying, what am I supposed to do? Well, go look at Luke 4. That's what Jesus did in unprecedented times. And if you really want to break it down even more, share the gospel. Share it through action. But most of all, share it through your word. And walk with somebody. Walk with people through this amazing time. I want to pray over you. And you can sit right here, Josh. I want to pray over you as we finish today. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you, that you sent Jesus during this time of unprecedented events. That since then, there's been even more unprecedented events. And Lord, I'm pretty convinced there's going to be even more unprecedented events. But that doesn't change who we are. And we can have confidence and come in and know that we're here to share the gospel. We're here to walk together. We're here to preach together. We're here to walk together. We're here to live life together. We're here to survive together. We're here to endure together. Lord, all this time that we've spent studying your word, that we now have the opportunity to share it, that we have the opportunity to give hope. Lord, I pray we wouldn't be critical, but we would be hopeful. That, Lord, we wouldn't be inhibited, but we would be empowered to be the light of the world during a dark time. And Lord, whether that's here in Brownwood or it's in Honduras or Russia or China or Africa, or Lithuania, wherever the case may be, I pray that we would be light to a dark world, a broken world. We love you, Jesus, especially for your death on the cross, for the salvation you give us freely. And Lord, just thanks for letting us be a part. Thanks for letting us walk alongside you and you walking alongside us during this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.